You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
How many know it's good to be in God's house? Amen. On the Lord's Day. If you've got your Bibles, please, if you could get Isaiah 9, verse 6. Isaiah 9, verse 6. And so we're going to start a new series that's going to run right through into the new year. And so we're going to be talking about the birth of Christ and who Christ is. How many know it's kind of officially the Christmas season now? Lights are up, trees are up. You know, the retail Christmas season starts way back in August because they want to sell you stuff. But we would say it's officially the kind of Christmas season as we have it now. And so what we want to do is we want to speak about this season and what it really means. And so we want to really use this opportunity to invite people out. Let's invite people out, mothers and fathers, uncles, aunts. Let people come into the house of God and hear really what this whole Christmas thing is about, rather than just being about the turkey and everything else. We really do believe that God can use this series to bring people to know the truth about Jesus Christ. Let me ask some questions here, and this is going to sound a little bit weird, but bear with me. If we was to ask, like, life, how life is, most of us have either read books or seen movies or TV programs where you've seen where someone is battling an alien, like they're fighting aliens for the world and all of this type of thing. Maybe they're a superhero and they're fighting this type of alien who wants to take over the world. But how many know we don't do that? I mean, no one here is for aliens. No. Okay, great. Or, you know, there's like this global conspiracy or something and they're a spy. How many here, you're a spy, you're an internet? You wouldn't put your hand up anyway, would you? If you was a spy, you wouldn't let us know. And so, so we got nobody here that's actually involved in some intergalactic warfare. No one here who's fighting a global conspiracy. You're a spy. But how many know we have problems? If I was to ask here, how many of you have had a problem or in a problem? Hands up. Let me see. Hands up. And the rest of you, you have a problem with lying. Yeah, amen. You have a problem with lying. And so what that tells us is that you don't have to have high drama. You don't have to be fighting aliens and being a spy to have problems. I mean, they sell the movies and they sell books and they, you know, they put it on TV programs. But reality is, we've never had that high drama, but we still have problems because life brings problems. In 1974, there was an architect and he designed like a puzzle. And in 1980, he patented it, meaning he kind of licensed it to himself. And what he did is he launched it. We've got a picture of it. It's called a Rubik's Cube. How many know what a Rubik's Cube is? And so we got a picture of that, the Rubik's Cube. Everyone will know what that is. And so, is that up there? Okay, you got it up there. So a Rubik's Cube, I remember when this came out because, you know, I was born in 1973. So I remember I was a kid, this came out. This was the greatest rage in the 80s. Some of you wasn't even born yet. And so this was the greatest rage. Everybody had a Rubik's Cube. Everyone was trying it. People had it on a key ring and everything. There was a tiny one. You had big one and all of this. You had others and they could do all types of crazy stuff. And so I remember having this. My mom got it for me. And so here you have the red side. And so you get all the pieces red. And now you've got another five faces to deal with. So then now you're trying to get you've done the red, so you want to get the blue. And if you've got all the red at the side of the blue, then you're kind of ahead and you start to work. So now you've got the blue and the red. And so that, yeah, you feel pretty clever about yourself, pretty smart. And then you want to get the yellow. So if you could do this, the problem is when you try to fix the other side, you mess up the side you've already done. That's what the difficulty is. It's not that you get one side. Okay, I've done one side now. Great. And I'm going to do the other side and do the other side and do the other side. No. You do one side, it's easy. Some of you are looking at me strange. I don't think you've ever tried it. But take it from me. Go home and try it. You get one side and you're trying to do the other side. And every time you try to fix another side, you end up messing up the side you did. I was thinking about this because this is many times how life is that you get one side of your life really well, and then the other side is a mess. And so you can have a good marriage, so you're like, yeah, we got our marriage, it's good, it's working well, but your finances are jacked up. We're struggling. We got no job. We got no work. We're always robbing Peter to pay Paul. Or you get your finances really well, so you're working, there's money coming in, but your spiritual life is now, oh, it's so difficult. You fix your spiritual life, and now your education. I'm not studying. I'm not. And this is how life is many times, is you're fixing one thing, but at the same time of fixing that, another thing is getting, how many are with me here? You understand what I'm saying? And so this is how life is. Some of you are like, you know what? Life is not easy. Life is just not easy. I fix one end and now I'm going to fix the other. And then something else happens. Something happens in your health. And you didn't even know you had that side of the Rubik's Cube. Or something else happens in your family or whatever it is. And so as we're going through life, we're dealing with all these issues. And the older you get, the more things you've got to deal with. I want to say to you, the Christmas story of Jesus being born is really a story of hope. It's not about turkey. It's not about Christmas trees. I'm not saying don't have those things. It's not about mistletoe. It all depends on who's under that mistletoe with you. But those things, we don't even know. You know, let me just put it out there. We don't even know when Jesus was really born. We don't know. It wasn't this time of year. It probably wasn't this time of year. We don't even know it. It's just a tradition. Am I against it? No. It's a celebration about Christ. It's not evil. It's not wicked. I know there's some people here, they ban trees and they ban mistletoe and they ban turkey. Good luck to you. I'll be yamming my turkey, having a good time, protein. But I want to let you know is the real message of Christmas is that though your life is so hectic and it's really hard to deal with, that God says there's hope. Because when you see that child in a manger surrounded by Joseph and whoever's around him, you know, like in a barn with a cow or a pig or whatever it is, when you see that picture, what that picture should communicate to you is help is on its way. That's the real meaning of Christmas. Help is on its way. Look at someone and say, help is on its way. Help is on its way. Some of you need it. Look at their face. They needed to hear that. Help is on its way. And we want to start this new series, A Son is Given, and we're going to keep preaching from Isaiah 9, verse 6. The Bible says this, very famous passage of scripture, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Father, we come before you at this time. We pray that you would magnify yourself. We have no confidence in our own ability or flesh, but Father, we pray that you would speak to us. Lord, we really do believe that you want Jesus to be magnified because that communicates to us that help is on the way. I pray for those that are heavily laden with life, struggling in life. Father, I pray that you'd help them today. Lift them up. Like we sung in that song, you lift us up. You lift us up. I pray that we would leave here lifted by your Spirit, encouraged and full of zeal, ready and expectant for all the good things that you have for us. We ask you this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. How many of you have started Christmas shopping already? Put your hand up. Huh, good. How many of you leave it to the last minute? Put your hand up. Pray, hey, my people. You're my people, man. I must admit, I'm a last-minute type of guy. This is why it's so good to have my wife as a good woman, because she understands that I'm a last-minute type of guy. Let me get some guys off the hook here, because sometimes the wife is like, you should be more like pastor. Listen, birthdays and anniversaries and Christmas, I'm not the best at that. I'll be honest with you. I'm like Christmas Eve. I'm running running around. What? How much is that? Okay, yeah, I'll get that. Okay. And so this is how it is with gifts and this time, Christmas time. You see, but people say, what do they say about gifts? They say, it's not the gift that counts, but it's the thought that counts. How many of you believe that? You believe that? Yeah? Some of you are like, no, I don't believe that. You better give me some good gifts. It's the thought that counts. And so I kind of do believe it. People give me gifts, and I don't really like the gift or want the gift, but I appreciate the gift. But what do you do with a gift that you don't really want? Do you feel compelled to show them that, you know, someone buys you a pair of shoes, do you feel compelled? Oh, I've got to wear them. Or a hat, or some socks, or a scarf. Or do you re-gift it? How many know what a re-gift is? A re-gift? How many are down with that? How many of you would never re-gift? Once you get given something, you'd never re-gift. Okay, self-righteous. How many of you here re-gift? If you get that, yeah, we re-gift. Maybe some of you have re-gifted me, man. Maybe that tie was a re-gift. Listen, if you re-gift, at least we've got a lower carbon footprint. Amen. We're recycling things. We're more gospel. We've redeemed it. Amen. And so you re-gift something. But one of the best things is when you get a gift, and have you ever got a gift and it was good? You're like, oh, okay, thank that. But then as you've kept it, it got better, meaning that you've wanted it more. I was thinking what gift I could have of this. And if we could put that picture up of this book. Here is a book that somebody gave me. It's actually my mum. When I got saved, my mum gave me this book. And so I wasn't a preacher at the time. And so in this book, it's called Holder's Bible Dictionary. I don't know. Hopefully it will go up there. And so in this book, I've used this book so many times that it keeps really getting better and better and better. So here we have like someone gives me something. They give me like this book. And at the time, I was like, oh, that's a nice book. But I wasn't even a pastor at the time. But since I've been a pastor and I've actually looked into making sermons and all of these things, it's basically a Bible dictionary book. That's not it. Don't worry. They'll be like, what pastor's kind of book is? There you go. There's the book. That's my desk. This is it. And so this is before there was any e-books or anything like that. This is how you, back in when the dinosaurs roamed the earth, we read these things called books. And so it's a Holder's Dictionary of Bible Themes. So if you basically wanted to know where is, let's have a look, where is love in the Bible? You could go in there and it would tell you all the places that love is in the Bible. Or where is fear in the Bible? Where's all the places? So here's this book I've had for probably 15 years and it gets better and better. And when I got it, I was like, oh, thanks, Mom. That's a good little gift. I'm a Christian, praise God. Put that aside. But when I became a pastor, that book became better. And so here is a gift that keeps on giving. That is what Jesus is like. Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. Jesus is not just, when the Bible says that God has given us a son, there's more to it than that. Because in our text, it describes his name. He says that he's Wonderful Counselor. That's really one term in the Hebrew. Then it goes on to say he's Mighty God, what we're going to talk about next week. Then it says he's Everlasting Father, and then we'll end on Prince of Peace. And it says that even though God has given us a son, it's like, okay, he's given us a son. But he said, no, look at his names. See, we name people based upon what's nice. How many know that? Some of you, I think naming a child, you know, naming a human being is a great responsibility. Some of you have done it. Some of you have done it more than once. Praise God. You've named some. I think it has to be. But how many know people just name? Sometimes we just pick names that just sound nice. You got to be careful with names because a name can sound nice as a baby. Like you got a baby boy and you want to call him, I don't know, Cutie Cute because he came out. He's so cute. How many know when he gets to like 25, he's 6'7"? Hey, bro, what's your name? Cutie Cute. You gotta come on, think of the kid, man. Think of the kid. You know, can you imagine when you go to school? You know, so you gotta think about it. But names have me. I got this. This is something I've got on authority from my Ghanaian consultant. So Kwesi, I've been told, means he was born on Sunday. Is that correct? Yeah, you'll give me a bit of a response, man. Ghanaian people are just saying, you should know that. No, why should I know that? Kofi, Friday. Yeah? Okay, that's as far as it goes. As much as I can remember. But, okay, so that's good. That's meaning, you know, Jamaicans, we've got like Quenisha, Kanisha, Dadisha, Namisha, Badisha, Alicia, Kadisha. It's like, you know, just any other, Lilisha, Tisha, Nisha. Now. We're trying to think of new ways of putting an Isha and a Nisha and an Ish together. Praise God. Big up the Jamaicans in the house. Hallelujah. Amen. My people, amen. But in Bible times, names were far more deeper. See, when God tells us that His name is going to be Wonderful Counselor, that wasn't said because it's just nice. The reason it's said is because this is who He is. This is who Jesus is. Wonderful Counselor. God wants you to know this is who He is. I want you to think about this. Your God, if you know God, your God that made you, designed you, your God that you've come to church today, you sung songs to Him, you prayed a prayer to Him, you're trying to serve Him, your God wants you to know He's a Wonderful Counselor. He's a counselor. This is what He is to you and I. The word counselor in the Hebrew, it really just means the same in the English, but there's more depth to it. What it means is someone who gives wise and valuable advice. How many need wise and valuable advice? Just to get through life. Remember what we said in the beginning, life is going to throw things at you. Life is like that Rubik's Cube. It's going to come with puzzles. How do I get through school? How do I get through university? How do I get through this job? How do I get through singleness? How do I get through marriage? How do I get through buying a house? How do I get through this health situation? How do I get through ministry, being planted out, starting a church? How do I do all of this? I want to tell you, the way that we know we can do it is that if we have God, we have a Wonderful Counselor, someone who will give you wise advice. Wonderful Counselor, what it expounds to mean is someone who gives advice about problems. That means here, if you have Christ here, you no longer have to face that problem by yourself. Listen here, I don't know what you're going through. Some of you, it may be something which is, you know, it's temporal. God is still with you. It may be something that you just don't know how you're going to get through this. The doctors don't know, the bank manager don't know, your boss don't know, your mom don't know, your dad don't know, the pastor don't know. But I want to tell you, there is one who does know. He's the Wonderful Counselor. This is what we have. We have a Wonderful Counselor. When we look at this story about Christmas, what God was saying, I know that you're trying to do life, and I know that it's heavy, and I know that it's difficult, but when we see Jesus in a manger, we get excited because we know help is coming. I no longer have to go through this life just trying to figure things out by myself. The Bible says in Psalms 33:11, the counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of His heart are to all generations. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. God is saying, listen, I'm here, and it doesn't matter what generation you live in. See, people want to talk about, when I was growing up, it was Generation X. Now it's millennials. And after that, it will be something else. I don't know what they'll call it. And before that, it was baby boomers. And people are wrapped up in this thing. And I'm not saying there's no value in understanding what your generation is going through. But I want to tell you is, don't get it twisted where you start to feel like your generation is different and God can't help you. Oh, God don't know what I'm going through. Here, it's different. Things are different now. Yeah, it is different than when I was young, and what worked for me may not work for you, but I want to tell you this, God works in all generations. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so if the Lord tarries and the world doesn't end for another 100 years, when we get to 3018, His word will still be counseling His believers. See, when marriage is hard, you have a counselor. You know, how many know Wednesday we heard good preaching? It was very good preaching. I was so proud in a good way, you know, like a doting father. I was like, yeah, these guys, I told you we got good men in this church. And good preaching. And so here we have one of the things that everyone was saying, he was like, life is hard in London. And when he said it, did you feel it? He's feeling it. That wasn't just a statement he's read. He's like, yeah, listen, guys, life is hard in London. He's feeling the weight. There was like, life is hard in London. But I want to tell you, life might be hard in London, but we have a counselor. You have a counselor. Help is on its way. That is what that is the good news here. Being single, it's not easy. How many know being single? Single people say amen if you believe me. How many being single is not easy? See, they don't want to say it like it says. It's just when you go home, you go in your bed by yourself, single person, amen. Just say, this ain't easy. I said by yourself, not to mock, but you should be by yourself, amen. If you're single. Yeah, just have to make, just put that one out there. I want to tell you, ministry is not easy. But you have a counselor. Whatever you say in life, you can fill in the gap. Whatever the thing is for you, this is not easy. But afterwards, you must constantly remember, but we have a counselor. We have a counselor. See, Jesus is not just a counselor. Jesus is a wonderful counselor. He's not just a counselor. That would be one good thing. People can have counselors on the earth. People have counselors, mentors, psychiatrists, all these things that people are doing. And I'm not against all of that or for all of that. You work that out. But Jesus is more than just a counselor. He's the wonderful counselor. That word wonderful in the Hebrew is the word pele, like the footballer, but not the footballer. And so this word pele, what it means is to be full of wonder. I was looking at the dictionary. Let me use the dictionary for this Hebrew word. It says, an astonishing thing which causes a feeling or attitude of intense amazement. That's what it means to be wonderful. When you see something and you're so astonished with it, you're full of a feeling of intense amazement. Or another way you could say wonderful is we could say this. You see something happen and you just know, that could only be God. That is what it means to be wonderful. Now, how many know we don't really use the word wonderful like that? We use the word wonderful for anything. Sometimes, you know, I'm guilty of it. I use the word, these words, we use words like perfect. If you've ever called me on the phone, I'm like perfect, yeah. Pastor, I've done perfect, perfect. I constantly say that, perfect. I mean, no, it's not really perfect. It's just we're trying to encourage you, perfect. Or we say amazing. Yeah, that was amazing. It's good. Well, you know, you go somewhere, they cook you some rice and peas, brown stew chicken. You know, that was wonderful. Well, it's good. But it's not wonderful because the word wonderful means you don't know how it happened. How many know when someone gives you some nice rice and peas? That's wonderful. How did you do this? How did you get the heat into the rice? How did you, I'm not going to go on and on, but that would be wonderful, meaning you just don't know how it happened. We use the word wonderful, that's a wonderful car, that's a wonderful voice. We know how it happened though. That doesn't mean, wonderful means I don't know how this happened and I'm just wondering. That is what it means to be wonderful. And so when the Bible says that we have a wonderful counselor, that means he's going to tell you things that you would have never figured out by yourself. Never. He's going to tell you about things that you and I would be like, I don't know how this can happen. I don't know how this can happen. See, the reason why he's a wonderful counselor is that he knows all things. Nothing occurred to God because he already knew it. He knows all things. In Isaiah 46 verse 10, it speaks about our God. God kind of speaks about himself a little bit. Look what he says here. He says, declaring the end from the beginning. Declaring the end from the beginning. That means he already is at the end from the beginning. This is God. How many know no one's like God? If you meet some people and they'll be like, we're all gods. You ever met them type of people? Watch way too much YouTube. Way too much YouTube. You need to get out more and just socialize, go to Nando's and get out more because we're all gods. We're not all gods. We don't know the end. Next time someone says, when will you die? Where will you die? How will you die? Give me the second, the nanosecond. You wouldn't. But God already knows everything because he's God. Look what he says. He says, he declares, that means he tells you the end from the beginning. That's why God could prophesy about Jesus, where he would come. That's why in the book of Daniel could prophesy about the kingdoms that would come. People say, why do you believe the Bible? I believe the Bible because the Bible is a book of prophecy. People talk about, what about the Quran? What about Notre Dame? What about none of those things fulfill prophecy like the Bible. The Bible predicts prophecy so clearly, so precisely. Okay, prove one then to me. Okay, what about in the book of Daniel that declares all of the kingdoms that will come, the superpowers of the world? And so it speaks about the Medo-Persian kingdom, which is in history. You can go to the British Museum. You'll see Medo-Persian. You'll see on writings a guy that was called Nebuchadnezzar. Then after that, you'll find out about the Grecian. And then after that, you'll find about the Roman. All of that was prophesied thousands of years before. And so God says, I declare the end from the beginning. Then he says this, from ancient times, things that are not yet done. And then he says, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure. See, this is why he's a wonderful counselor, because he already knows. He already knows what's going to go on in that job. He already knows what's going to go on in that college. He already knows what's going on with those kids. He already knows what's going on in your health. He's already declared it. This is why he's a wonderful counselor. If you come to me, I'll be like, okay, I'm going to give you biblical counsel. You find an outside counselor. Most counseling, if you've studied counseling, really is not to fix you, but to say, what do you think about that? That's what the real counseling is about. Not biblical counseling, but real, what did you think about that? How did that make you feel? What do you think you should do? Trying to bring and unravel things. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying that's not giving me answers. That's maybe taking me, revealing some stuff about myself. But biblical counsel, God's counsel, is going to give you answers. He's saying, no, this is what's going to happen. And that's why he's a wonderful counselor. Because he already knows the end in the beginning. Last week, you know, we're becoming quite of a boxing fan church, aren't we? Because Pastor Colin spoke about Tyson Fury and Everett was speaking about Andre Ward. And so last week was the big fight, you know, last Saturday. People were like, are you going to stay up for it? I was like, no, I'm not staying up for that. 3 a.m, no. If I make 3 a.m, I'm praying. I ain't staying up for that. So I woke up in the morning. I must admit, the first thing I did, kind of look at my phone. What was the result? So I found the result. It was a tie. It was a draw. And so I looked on, see if I could get on YouTube, if I could see what happened. And so here I'm watching a little bit of the fight. So remember, I already know it's a draw. I already know Tyson Fury doesn't lose. I already know that. So as I'm watching clippets of the fight, within one of the middle rounds, the middle of the fight, Tyson Fury gets knocked down. Now, I wasn't worried, because I would be supporting Tyson Fury. I wasn't worried. Why? Because I already know. See? I already know what's going to happen. At the end, the 12th round, Tyson Fury gets knocked down. He gets knocked down so badly, his eyes roll back in his head. He gets knocked down. People are talking about it. It's like, how did he get up from that? He goes right down, down for the count. I was talking to another pastor this week. I said, did you watch it? And he said, yes, he was up watching it. So he shall remain nameless, amen. And so he was up watching it. And I said, when you saw that, you must have thought it's over. He said, yeah, I thought it was over. But when I watched it, I knew it wasn't over. Because I already knew the end from the beginning. See, some of you right now, you're looking at your life and the devil's knocked you down. And your heart is in your mouth. See, my heart weren't in my mouth when I saw Tyson Fury go down. Because I knew he'd get back up again. Because I knew the end from the beginning. Some of you are looking at your marriage. You may be looking at your health. Right now, you may be looking at something and the devil has hit it so hard, its eyes have rolled back in its head and it's gone back on the canvas. Some of you are looking at your marriage or looking at your... Pastor, I'm still single. Been here a while now. But I want to tell you, listen, we have a wonderful counselor that knows the end from the beginning. And if you will listen to the counselor, you will no longer have that fear. You will know, I know that I'm going to make it. See, Jesus really is a wonderful counselor. You know, one of the areas where you also use the word counsel is in legal terminologies. How many know, like people say, if you've got to go to court, you need to seek legal counsel. You need to get legal counsel. And what they're saying is, if you're going to go to court, you need somebody who's going to come in and basically stand up for you in court, who's going to speak for you in court. That's legal counsel. Can I say to you today, every single one of us, one day, we are going to stand before the great judge. Every single one of us. I could go through whether you're black or white, rich or poor, male or female. The Bible says it's appointed for a man to die once and then the judgment. Every single one of us is going to die. No one here is going to live forever. We're all going to die. Then there's the judgment. That's like court. The judgment means there has to be a judge. There's a judging. If you don't have a counselor, on that day, God is going to judge your life. Everything you've done, he's going to judge, go through your life on that day. And you will be judged on the evidence of the life that you've lived. How have you lived? That's what you're going to be judged on. You're going to be judged on the evidence of the life that you have lived. Just because you've come to church today, that's not going to save you. Just because your mom was a Christian, that's not going to save you. Just because you have an intellectual concept of Christianity, like I kind of understand what it is in my head, that's not going to save you. Because on that day, if you stand in the judgment, under the judgment seat, and God starts bringing out evidence, did you lie? Remember, you lied on this day. I don't know how he's going to do it. Imagine he has a big screen like this, and you're standing there, and he's like, bring up August 2018 at 4 o'clock, and you lied. Or bring up 2000 and whatever, and you stole. You was in a shop, and you just mopped a Mars bar. And you'd be like, "Something, Mars bar. I was on my way for school." God would be like, "Look, she did it." Covetousness, even things that we did in our hatred in our heart. God saw that you was somewhere and you looked at someone and you'd be like, "She thinks she's so nice. Scary. Look, change your weave, man. Get eyebrows. Eyebrows don't even match." God's going to put that up there. And so we, and then she comes over to you, "Hi, how you doing?" You're like, "Yeah, how you doing? You're great. Yeah, 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 I love you." God's going to show it. God's going to show it. When you could have helped people and you didn't do it. "Hey, bro, can you help me?" "Nah, I can't. I can't. Can't help you, man. Can't. Can't do it. I got to go somewhere." You ever, "Hey, bro, can you do this?" "Oh, no, I got to go somewhere." And then an hour later, they're still there. But we're not going to go there. You could have. God's going to show all of these things. God's going to reveal these things. What about sexual sin? You're at home alone with your iPhone. No one don't know. No. The judge knows. The judge knows. Can I tell you, there is no such thing as an unsolved crime. Because man may not catch you, but you will appear before the eternal courtroom. The Bible says God will judge you by your own deeds. Courtney will be judged by his own deeds. You will be judged by your own deeds. When the evidence comes forth, you will be speechless. You will be hopeless. You will be lost. You will not be able to say, "That's not me." You will not be able to say, "I didn't do it." You will not be able to make excuses, because even the intent of your heart will be revealed. You will be there and there will be no hope for you. It is ridiculous when people say, "I'll give God a piece of my mind." No, you won't do that. People act big. I've seen people that act big, but put them in that situation, they change. They change. On that day, grown men will weep like babies. You know, like a baby. Men, 6 foot, 44 inch chest. Will weep like babies. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. Because on that day, you'll be speechless, hopeless, like, I can't say nothing. I'm cool. But if you have the counselor, if you have the son, because this is why it's so good for us, because a son has been given, a wonderful counselor. You don't have to go to court alone. God has provided legal aid. That when we stand before God and the judge brings out all of this evidence against me, my counselor will be like, you don't need to say nothing. Counselor will stand. Your Honor, can I bring your attention to Exhibit A? And it will show his nail-pierced hands. Your Honor, can I also point to Exhibit C? A cross that's stained with his own blood. See, Exhibit B is the blood. And once he sees that, once the judge sees that, you know what, every sin was paid for by Christ, he'll say, case dismissed. You're free to go. See, do you have the counselor today? Is he your counselor? Is he your wonderful counselor? See, you can go to court and a judge looking at you and a solicitor arguing your case, but our counselor is different because not only is he bringing the evidence, he is the evidence. You do not want to go through life without this wonderful counselor. You may be thinking, you know what, life is hard, life is difficult. It is hard and it is difficult, but I want to let you know, God has given us his son. A son is given right now. His son is here. His son is giving you his son. Do you want it? Do you want him? Are you going to receive him? Because if you reject him, there's no hope. But if you receive him, he will become a wonderful counselor to you. That is the real story of Christmas. That is the real story of the baby in the manger. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.